Third John, not a lot known about it. It may have more verses, but it has less words than Second and First John, obviously. But there's three men mentioned, and oftentimes this book has been called the three men of Third John. We're going to meet one of them this morning. His name is Gaius. And then we're going to meet a man named Diophrates. And then we're going to meet a man named Demetrius. Two of them serve God well. One of them do not. And so this morning we're going to look at Gaius. And this is what John, who wrote a personal letter. It's like Philemon. He wrote a personal letter. Paul wrote a personal letter to Philemon. John is now writing a personal letter to Gaius, obviously a servant in the early church. And this is what he tells us. And I want to come at this from application standpoint, give you some background, obviously, but try to put this more on what we're to do, how this affects us, because there's two worlds that you can preach to. You can preach to the biblical world, or you can preach to our world. The minister's job is to take what was in the biblical world and translate that into the modern world. So what? What does it mean for us? And this is what I think it means for us today. First of all, let's support one another. And John starts right off. Notice he writes off right out of the gate. He mentions his love for Gaius. Now notice he says the elder. Again, like in 2 John, I believe John was the sole remaining apostle at this point. And he was the only one that was alive from the original group that walked with Jesus. So he naturally would say the elder, definitive, not a elder, but the elder. So at this point, he realizes that he's the last one. And I think at this point, he realizes that the end is near, and he's got to really, like when Paul in 2 Timothy, when he said, preach the word, be prepared, in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, and exhort with patience and long suffering. Paul was handing off the baton. And I think in a sense, John is handing the baton off here too. This guy named Gaius, who's very obscure, at least in the New Testament. And I went back and I said, okay, well, how many times is Gaius mentioned in the New Testament? Well, it's three times. There's Gaius of Corinth. That's mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14. Then there's Gaius of Macedonia in Acts 19:29, and then there's Gaius of Deborah, and that's in Acts 24. So the question is, which Gaius is it? Scholars have debated this for a long time, and none of them came to a definitive conclusion. I will say this, that the name Gaius was very prevalent in that society when John wrote this letter. I don't think that's the big issue. The big issue is what he said to Gaius. Notice he said, to the beloved, which means that Gaius was well-known, well-liked in the community. He was affectionately seen by others as being someone who loved Jesus Christ. So in other words, he had a very good reputation. Now notice what he said, whom I love in the truth. Love in truth. We looked at that word last time in 2 John. That word has not changed. It talks about the reality of the gospel. The fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth, died on the cross, paid for our sins. That is real. Unlike 1 John, where he says that which we have seen, touched, heard, and about Jesus Christ. It's real. Even though the Gnostics were claiming that Jesus Christ was not real, he only imagined to come. Truth is not far behind when love is involved, and we're talking about genuine love. This is a love that is a self-sacrificing love. It is a love that is based upon the gospel. It is a love that is rooted in the message and the cross of Jesus Christ. It is a sincere, godly love, not an earthly love, but a godly love. And this is what he says, Gaius, I love you with everything that Jesus Christ loved you with. That really sets home in the heart, I think. This is really what the Christian community is about. I was asked one time, Pastor, why do we do the greeting? Why do we do the meet and greet? I think it's our opportunity to hug and embrace fellow believers. It's our opportunity to say, I'm glad to see you. It's our opportunity to say that I love you and I'm praying for you. And I think it's so vital. I think it's so vital that people know that we love each other. Isn't that right? Because if they don't see love in the church, we're in serious trouble. Because if love's not being practiced in the church when we meet, it's not being practiced on the street where people see us. And so he says, right out of the gate, the elder, the beloved Gaius, Gaius knew what this was about. He knew that he was saying, you have a wonderful reputation, people love you, and guess what? So do I. I love you in Christ, and everything is attached with the gospel. I love you perfectly. I think in order to have successful ministry, love has to be dead center of that ministry. You cannot build a church on angry people who do not want to reach out. You cannot build a church on people that are not friendly. You have to build a church on the love of Jesus Christ, and that's why he starts it out this way. And he's going to commend Gaius for his excellent work in the church there. Then he says, beloved, again, he mentions it again in verse 2. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. Thank you, Deacon Glenn. That was perfect. I was going to text you and say, it is well with my soul, but that was perfect. Three areas that John prayed for. And this is often overlooked, and I think this is a good ministry paradigm for us. As we do ministry and as we interact with one another and as we get excited about the gospel and as we get excited about doing ministry, these are three things that should be on our prayer list for everybody that's on a team in this church that serves Jesus Christ here. Remember, you are not serving Pastor Mike. You are not serving First Baptist Church Tolono. You are not serving the committee. First and foremost, you are serving Jesus Christ. That's where the ministry is. This is not about us. This is about serving Jesus Christ. And it'll show a little bit later, but watch this. He prays for three things. First of all, that it may go well. Simply translated, that you may be successful. Let me say this. There is absolutely nothing wrong. Absolutely nothing wrong with praying that your ministry is successful. I don't think you would go, oh, Lord, please don't let us reach anybody. Please don't let anybody come to this church. No, you want to say, Lord, please let John or Sally's ministry be successful. Let them experience the divine fruit of the Holy Spirit. And Father, let their hearts be encouraged. Let the Holy Spirit begin working wonderfully in the lives. And let people look at the ministry and go, wow, look at what God's doing there. He's praying that Gaius would be successful. What Gaius was doing may not seem a big deal to normal people, but when you had traveling ministers that were coming into the community, they would look for places to stay, and they would look for Christian places to stay, and they would go into those homes, and that's what Gaius was doing. He was housing traveling missionaries and traveling pastors. That's a huge deal. You may think, well, you know, that's not such a big deal. I mean, yeah, you keep them for a night or two. Do you know what it means to a traveling pastor? Do you know what it means to a missionary to go into a home that is a loving environment and the meals are wonderful and there's great fellowship? How does that help that missionary or that traveling pastor be able to do their ministry better? Yeah. It should be that way here, and it should be that way in our homes. And let me say this. There are no small ministries in the kingdom of God. You say, well, I have to sign up and clean the church. Or you could say, I have to sign up and clean the church. Because I know that if we have visitors that come in here and they look around and they see that the church is dirty and things are disheveled and out of place, it doesn't look good, it doesn't reflect well on the message of the gospel, It's a big deal. There is no small ministry in the kingdom of God. So when the ministry placement team puts your name on that ministry team, and you think that your ministry is not important, let me tell you, every ministry that is done in this church is important and vital to the overall success of the mission. There are no small ministries. Your ministry, even if it's just, praying for people, that is huge. He says, I'm going to pray that you be successful. When was the last time your team sat down and had a heart-to-heart with God and said, God, bless our ministries. Make us successful. I bet you if we were honest about it, we haven't really prayed that way. And I would encourage you, when you come together on your teams, that you begin praying for success. VBS, we have a huge VBS program coming up. Start praying now that God would bless our VBS, that this sanctuary would be overflowing with kids, and that the gospel message would get out. Yes, I'm fired up because I love this message. And I think now more than ever, we need to really look at how we support one another, loving each other, praying. But then he says this, and this could mean two things. Good health obviously refers to physical health. Either Gaius was not feeling well and having trouble in some physical area of his life, or he was saying, I pray that you may enjoy a healthy body and feel good doing the ministry. Have you ever done ministry when you haven't felt good? Somebody comes, you go, oh, my back and my legs and my feet, they hurt. How effective do you do ministry in that? Or maybe chronic pain, I get that. I understand it. I was at my doctor the other day, and he said, how's your shoulder? And I said, I guess I have to live with it. It still hurts. And that can hurt your productivity for the kingdom of God. So he says, I pray that you may be successful in your ministry and that you may enjoy good health. Let's start praying that way. I think this is important. I think it's huge. To help us, you know, and we have a lot of people that have illnesses here and you know, that struggle even chronically. I pray that they, God would give them physical health so that they can do the ministry. This last one's pretty important. He says that it may go well with your soul. That is, he's praying for inner spiritual health. If you get somebody that's doing ministry and they're not healthy spiritually, what kind of product are you going to get? If you get somebody that's struggling and they're not really with God, how effective will they be in their ministry for God? I think this is a good way to pray. Pray for God to help them be successful, to be healthy, and Father, give them a spiritual renewal and revival in their heart. Something I think we need to really go back when we get in our groups and when we pray for one another, to really think about the inner man, the spiritual heart of the person, and to say, Lord, help them experience you to a greater degree. Because if the person who is doing the ministry is growing in their relationship with God and growing closer to God, how much better will their ministry be? And how much more effective will their ministry be? Well, because they come to the ministry and they go, I feel great. I know people love me. They're praying for me. I feel like God's going to do something wonderful here. I think I'm going to see God move. And then I'm just bursting with God. Ooh, now you give me a church of 30 or 40 people like that. People that are fired up. People that know that they're loved in this community and people that are fired up for Jesus Christ. I will show you a church that we will need to start 3 services here just because people are looking at Tolono First Baptist Church and saying, what in the world is going on over there? Well, people are excited. They're ready. They're active. They're wanting to move and they are healthy spiritually. They're healthy physically. And it can't always be that way. I realize that. And they are doing successful things for God. Now, that's where we need to be. That's where we need to be as a church. We need to get excited again, and we need to start supporting each other. This is vital. You realize this group's praying for this guy physically, but you know you can pray for him spiritually from a distance. You can lay your hands on the person. Prayer and love, that is how we support one another. And I've heard you tell me this. Many of you have told me, Pastor, I know that the church was praying for me because I could what? Feel it. We're not going to be successful, folks, if all we do is just come through the doors, punch our time card, sit in our little groups and try to come up with stuff. We're not going to be successful. But if you come in there and you love everybody in the church and you come in and you feel good physically, you know you're good spiritually, and you're wanting God to do something, I think God will move. I think this is maybe even partly supporting one another is actually a call for revival and renewal. Secondly, recognize spiritual success. That's exactly what John did. Notice here, verse 3. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth. In other words, these traveling pastors and traveling missionaries, when they went into Gaius's house and he housed them and he fed them and he broke bread with them and he fellowshipped with them and he sent them on their journey, they went back to John and they said, John, man, Gaius, wow, what a blessing. This man was awesome. He took care of us. And by the way, John, he is walking in the truth. In other words, Gaius was not just saying, I'm a Christian, but he was living it. He was actually living for Christ. And when they went back to John, yeah, you could see why John goes, man, that makes me happy. That makes me excited. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth. As indeed, he noticed what he says later in verse 3, as indeed you are walking in the truth. Walking refers to living or behaving in a customary manner. Every one of us knows how to live for Christ. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. This is a decision. You can either live God's way or you can live your way. Gaius had decided, because he had so many people praying for him, so many people that loved him, he was well-liked in the community, they knew who he was, they said, oh, you're a traveling missionary, you need to go to Gaius' house. He'll take care of you. He'll pray with you. He'll do whatever you need to help you in your ministry. He was saying, I'm not going to do things my way. I'm going to do things God's way. You know, that is a daily choice, folks. When your feet hit the floor on Monday morning, tomorrow, and your feet hit the floor, you have a decision right then to say, I'm going to live for God today. You have a choice. God doesn't force it on you. And Gaius, he was living. Notice what he says, as indeed you are walking in the truth. In other words, you're walking the gospel. You're living the gospel. You're doing all the things that Christ did. You're following him. You're showing the love of Christ. You're doing all those things that encompass the Christian life. And then he praised him. Notice verse 4. Not only was he recognizing his conduct, but he was praising his conduct and his walk with Christ. Look, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Let me just say this quickly. What was John getting at? This is what John was getting at. Good job. When you do ministry for a long time, I realize sometimes ministry does not go well, and it's not a carnival ride. And I know ministry can be tough, but let me say this. A simple word of encouragement can go a very, very long way in helping people in ministry. We have wonderful devices now called iPhones Newt Larson told me something and came back to me when I did this, when I was writing this sermon. I didn't tell him about it, probably will next week. Newt Larson told me when he saw me at lunch one day, the last time I saw him back in November, he looked at me and he said, "You need to be texting 5 people a day, thanking them for their ministry." I start thinking about that. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35. That's 35 a week. But I can tell you this. Pastor Larson told me that when he was pastoring an 18,000-member church, he did that. That's what I want you to do this week. Call, send a card, text, instant message, Facebook, whatever. I want you to tell somebody, thank you for what you do in our church, and thank you for the ministry that you do for Jesus Christ. Do you know, if somebody's having a bad morning or a bad week and they've done ministry and it just seems like nothing went right and everything was tough that week, and somebody says, thank you, let me encourage you. One day I was sitting, it was in Bible college, and I was pastoring that little church out in the middle of nowhere. And I saw a guy, as I walked outside, I saw a guy sitting on the tennis court. He was just leaned up against the pole. The net was not on at that time. And I saw him sitting out there, and I just, well, okay. So I walked out there. I didn't know the guy. So I walked out there, and I said, are you okay? And he said, well, I'm struggling. So I sat down with him, and I talked to him for a little bit. Didn't really think about it. You know, I prayed with him. When I became a senior in Bible college, he came back to me. I remember the guy. He was a couple of years behind me. He came up to me and he said, Hey, Mike, I want to tell you something. And I said, yeah. He said, you remember that day I was sitting on the tennis court? And I said, yeah. He said, those words that you said to me propelled me. He said, I used you in a sermon this week. And I was like, well, I hope it was good. Encouraging people. Good job. Now, don't do it like, you know, if the person's not doing a good job, but try to get some way of doing some type of encouragement to tell them, go, you can do this. Thank you. Look at what John says. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. Now, do you think Gaius looks at that and goes, no, I'm not going to keep walking? Do you think he looks at it and he goes, he really does notice and that's helpful to me and I can keep going in ministry? Yeah. Lastly, and encourage future ministry. Not only are we to support one another and that we're to recognize spiritual success, but I think we're to encourage future ministry. And he starts by reaffirming, beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are. Pistos is the Greek word for faithful. It means dependable, reliable, trustworthy. In all of your efforts, eragozomai in the Greek, it means to labor intensely. So in other words, he was faithfully laboring for Christ. He was faithfully and trustingly doing it for Jesus Christ. So when people on the street, when a minister would come into town, they would say, hey, do you know a good place where I can stay? I bet you everybody in that community says, go to Gaius' house. He'll take care of you. Now, I don't know how many people he had, how many he might have housed 15 missionaries at one time. But he housed them because he saw the importance of that ministry. They would spend the night, they would have fellowship, do whatever, and he would say, go, may God go with you, may he bless you, may you be successful. That was important. And what he's doing here is he's reaffirming that ministry. As your pastor, let me reaffirm your ministry here today. if you're on the communication team, if you're on the mission team, if you're on the hospitality team, let me tell you, every one of those teams and all the other teams, the deacon board, all of those teams, the trustees, everybody, what we do here is vital. I want to reaffirm those ministries. I also want to challenge you to greater faithfulness in those ministries as your pastor. I want you to say, okay, I'm going to come to the table now, and because Pastor Mike said this is an important ministry, we're going to treat it in, like it's important. I want to reaffirm that in your heart today, that whatever you are doing for God, it is vital. And if it's here and you're doing the ministry, it's vital. If you're outside and you're living for Jesus Christ and you're showing the world Jesus Christ, that is vital. Let me reaffirm that today as your pastor. It is important. There are no small ministries in the kingdom of God. None. So many times we think, well, the pastor's got the greatest spot. No, I don't. It is not the greatest spot. I love preaching. I love expounding the word of God. I love those things. But it is not the most important. Audrey has told me many times in our marriage, when we get to heaven, I'm out of a job. Which is absolutely true. I won't be preaching to God. He might throw a few sermons my way. You do the bulletins, that's an important job. You do the music, that's an important job. You do children's church, that's an important job. You plan VBS, that is vitally important. They're all vitally important. All of them are important. And they come together to glorify the church. No, they come together to bring glory to God, who was the one who redeemed the church through Jesus Christ. You might think it's small, but you know, even in Romans chapter 12, it was practiced all throughout. Practice hospitality. Welcome people into your home. Welcome them into your lives. Let them see Jesus Christ. You know, I know the casual read through this, you're thinking, that's not a big deal, but folks, it is big. And John just said, I want to reaffirm that. You are doing a faithful thing in all of your labors. In other words, I give you my blessing, keep doing it. That's what he's telling him. It's exactly what he's telling him. You can read it in 40 different translations, and when it comes out in the Greek, it comes out like that. He is reaffirming his work and mission there. You see what's happening here? He's building him up, not tearing him down like the guy we're going to look at next week. It's a bad example. This is a good example. So we have a challenge. Encourage future ministry starts with reaffirming that what we are doing is the work for God. But now notice, who testify to your love before the church. In other words, they came back and they stood up in the midst of a congregation and they said, Gaius is doing a wonderful work. And matter of fact, if you plan on being in that region of the area and you're a traveling pastor and you've got a message from God, go see Gaius. Because not only is he wonderful and he invites you in and gives you a clean place to sleep and a roof over your head and he is living for Christ. My grandmother used to house Adrian Rogers. I didn't know that until later on in her life. Adrian Rogers used to stay at my grandmother's house, or at least a couple of times. Wow. Had no idea how big he would get. And I kind of wonder if my grandmother's two times or so that helped him, I wonder how that added to the success of his ministry. I wonder the little things that happen to you on a daily basis and how you reach out and minister to people. I wonder if that propels people. He says, you will do well to send them. And by the way, that was a common designation. I send you in the name of Jesus Christ. Send. You're sent on a mission. Think of it that way. It's a technical term in theology. You will do well to send them on their task or on their journey in a manner worthy of God. In a manner worthy of God is simply this: nothing less than the best is expected of us as we serve God. And by the way, you should be serving God. You should get into a church, a Bible-based church, and you should serve God with all of your heart. And all of us that are here, we need to be serving God with all of our heart, the best. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. Sometimes we give our best to our employer and give leftovers to God. And that doesn't need to be. I had a conversation this week with somebody, and we were talking about, you know, what should I do? And I said, well, you work, you stay focused on what you're to do, and you work hard for your employer, but you equally work hard for God. By the way, I think if you go to work and you work for God at work, I think your work productivity will greatly increase. And I think if you come into the church and you realize that you're not working just for the leaders of this church, but you're working for the one who leads you into heaven, and you're working for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I wonder how that changes your perspective on ministry. Got to change it. It's got to help you and get you propelled to go out there and do what God has called us to do. Let's start loving and praying for each other. Let's start doing that. Let's start all those things that I talked about in the sermon today. Let's send cards and letters, text, emails, anything you can to say, you know what? I appreciate what you do. Thank you for serving Christ. Thank you for serving the church. I was actually convicted myself on this, that I needed to do a better job at that. So just wait. You're going to get some emails. You're going to get an IM from me somewhere or something. We need to start thanking each other for doing the work we're doing here. I think that's for all of us. Let's work hard for the kingdom of God. Let's work hard for the kingdom of Christ. Let's work hard with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let's renew our ministry here. Let's do that together.